You're listening to a podcast from 702.
And for the open line, we've invited the Deputy Features Editor, Sue de Groot. She's the Deputy Features Editor at the Sunday Times. This past Sunday, she wrote a column, right, that we as broadcasters have always wondered, pondered, debated about, and just really interrogated it for many, many years. Why do we see or why do we hear fewer female voices on the airwaves? Why is that? Why do we hear fewer women on the airwaves? Public discourse. And Sue was asking the question pertaining to the comments, the online comment section. She was saying, she asked why almost all the names on letters, you know, now it's emails, of course, but, you know, still nice to call it letters, on the letters page of a newspaper and in online comment sections, why are they male? And this is a question that, because we've asked it, as broadcasters, I thought, let's have this discussion and hear from you. Hear from you as our listeners. Why do we have fewer female voices on the airwaves in online comment sections or women writing letters in that letter section? In this process, is it maybe the bias of the person selecting the letters of what to print? Or is there really fewer coming through? Is it the bias of Ntateng, for instance, as she calls in, selecting the male comment over the female comment? Is it there? Is the problem there? Or is it the fact that we just don't get female, as many female callers? Sue, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Azania. Thank you so much for having me.
I just loved your piece this past Sunday.
Thank you.
And I just thought we need to have this conversation out because we even talk about it as broadcasters in our teams with management. It even informs programming decisions, you know. And there was one station that I was at where it was also part of my performance review, you know, to ascertain whether or not I'm attracting more women rather the percentage of men and women that I'm attracting, what that is and whether the women are growing. So you are equally vexed that more women mm-hmm. don't make themselves heard.
Absolutely. And it's definitely not just you and I. I mean, in doing some research for this column, this debate has been going on all over the world for decades. So the one thing I found was a research project by, it's an organization that seeks to promote diversity in media in the U.S. called the Op-Ed Project. Mm-hmm. So they did this very long survey of people, opinion-related content, which means people writing opinion pieces, but also writing letters and, you know, SMSs, whatever at that point. Yeah. And less than 20% of that content was by women. So, and this seems to be carrying on. So another thing I included in the column was a very recent report that was released in December, a survey done by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation across media in six English-speaking countries, including South Africa, the US, the UK, Kenya, Nigeria, India, with others. But they found, you know, that the voices of women, not just women appearing as subjects of news, but people, expert opinions and so on, it's extremely low. So they didn't really go into why, which is why I started anecdotally wondering why this is.
Yes.
So I think there are many things. You know, people say time, which obviously women mostly do the care work and the child's schooling, homeschooling. Now, I mean, it's all of this, you know, those kind of things, as well as having jobs, most of them. So it could be a time thing. It could be that, as people have said, men just complain more. I should add here, though, and I think you and I will agree, I'm not saying in any way that men should not be voicing their opinions and should not be phoning into talk shows and not be. I mean, that's wonderful. The question is, why do women not do it or feel that they can't do it?
Yeah, so that's important to note. No one is saying that, you know, they need to pull back, but asking why is the other side not on the increase? When I thought about it, I thought, is it maybe similar to what recruiters or HR or human capital practitioners have said, and what some studies have indicated, that when it comes to applying for jobs, for instance, many men, like a guy may be 60% ready for a job, but he'll apply for it anyway. But then a woman will wait until she's, say, 120% ready before putting a hand up for a project or before applying for that job. So we self-promote less. We put ourselves forward less. So that could be another insight into why we're seeing lower numbers of women.
Absolutely. I think that's a big thing, and particularly in South Africa, I think. I mean, I think it's a general worldwide thing, but it's definitely not that women don't have opinions. So just to, go back quickly to your earlier comment, it's definitely not, and you would know this from callers, it's not that we don't allow them to speak, and we're just not getting talking for the Sunday Times. We just don't get those letters. We would be delighted to publish them. They're just not there. So in relation to that, not putting ourselves forward, I mean, I think certainly women have opinions, and I don't think they necessarily lack confidence in their opinions. I mean, I think we all know women who have very passionate views about things, and they will happily talk to friends about those things in safe spaces. But I think maybe one of the reasons women aren't as visible or vocal in public debate is perhaps for many that space is kind of tainted with the same fears or restrictions that they might have experienced elsewhere. So that's not necessarily a fear of physical attack or harassment, but this kind of fear of criticism. So what you're saying about putting ourselves forward, I think most women, and I think this is traditionally even more prevalent in black families in South Africa, would have grown up being told, like, behave like a lady, don't be a loudmouth, don't promote yourself, don't boast.
Yes.
I've spoken to a lot of women who are now very successful who say that when they first entered the workplace, they kind of had to unlearn these behaviors that were drummed into them as children, that kind of be quiet, be nice, keep your eyes down, don't challenge authority figures, that sort of thing. So I'm not sure. I think there might be a case that some of those fears and those patterns come up when women are holding back from engaging in public debate. I mean, whether it's writing a letter to the paper or posting a comment online or phoning a talk radio show, there's kind of that fear that you might be censured or criticized or, you know, told to shut up. This is not your place. It's not your purpose.
Right. You know? And I think there is a long history of that, especially when you look at social media and how certain views are targeted or how the targeting happens. Because, men could share some very controversial views, but the way in which they are challenged is different to the way women can be challenged at times. And we've seen journalists, for instance, being targeted and threatened with things like sexual violence. So there is a history of putting women in their place if they do speak up or if they do say things. Society's reaction is different to when a man speaks up.
Definitely. And I think also actually part of that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation report I had referred to, there was as part of that survey was on the harassment experienced by women journalists, which is to a far greater degree than they get trolled and harassed and have terrible things said to them, far more than men do. I don't think that's necessarily as big a fear for someone who's just writing a letter or phoning in, but I think that perception of criticism still exists, even if it's not, you know, even if it's less of a risk for someone. I mean, and it's interesting, I think Twitter and Facebook and other social media, I don't have data, but I think women are more likely to speak out there. But I think there's maybe the perception that's more like you're speaking to a circle of friends. I mean, even though your comments are out there for anyone to read, you feel you're writing for a specific group of people that you know, even if you only know them virtually. You know, it maybe just doesn't feel that as public as going on radio or writing to a paper. I'm not sure.
Yes. Well, something that I've always, I've never forgotten it, firstly, and it always stays with me, was when in my earlier days of getting into radio, I remember being offered an afternoon drive show. And then in the workshopping on the show, I was asked a question about what sort of woman do you want to be? Do you want to be a damsel in distress, you know, who is always, someone is coming to her rescue, you know, which could be the sports guy or, you know, one of the other contributors who are inevitably male. Or you could be the guy's girl, you know, you can hang with the guys, you can sport, you can talk sport and banter with them and so on. And I said, but why? Men aren't asked to. Yes, why? So I've never forgotten that. And the response was that men don't listen to women and women don't listen to men. So
unless you're taking on one of these roles.
Exactly. Precisely. Yeah. So which is why additionally I found your column so interesting because it's a question of society and the expectations we have of how or how we've socialized women. And I think also perhaps that fear, or as you say, of criticism if we do, in fact, decide to speak.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true. And I think also part of it, which you touch on, the men are not asked what kind of man are you going to be or what role are you going to play. You know, it's just this is who you are. So there is that kind of thing. But, I mean, on a slightly different note, I think men also, the primal testosterone, whatever thing, whatever you call it, that need to defend your territory or your family or your possessions, or, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic, you have to attack, you know. I'm not dissing men. I think whether this is a primal thing or whether it's socially conditioned, that it does exist, that men are more likely to go on the defensive. And maybe that's true for their opinions too, that they feel they're more driven to defend their own opinions in the same way they would their possessions or their cars, or, you know what I mean?
Yes, it's an extension of that socialization. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Whereas women just sit back and let the men fight it out. You know?
Yeah, right. Sue, thank you so much. We're going to take calls and see what we're able to find at the bottom of this all. Thank you very much.
I'd love to hear what people think. Thank you so much, Azania. Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
That is Sue de Groot, the Deputy Features Editor at the Sunday Times. What do you think? Why do we hear, ladies, why do we hear you on fewer occasions on the airwaves? What are your reflections after hearing that conversation? A self-introspection of sorts. I'm taking your calls on 011-883-07. No, seriously, on 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApps and your voice notes on 072-702-1702. Guys, you're welcome too. This was triggered by a piece that was in the Sunday Times written by Sue de Groot. And we get your comments after the break. 37 minutes past one. And I want to take your calls on the discussion I was having with Sue de Groot a little bit earlier on WhatsApp, on the WhatsApp line. Lerato says, we don't have airtime as a wage pay gap. Come on. Is that because you are WhatsApping after all, or is it Wi-Fi? Is that a real valid reason, Lerato, or are you just having fun, or it's just making fun a little bit there? Another one says more guys are working or have access to finance. Finance and work situation means data access to phone lines, access to devices that you use to contribute, comment and participate. That could also be part of it. This one comes from a woman as well. So kind of echoing the sentiment that Lerato had offered in the WhatsApp, which initially I didn't think was a serious one. Could there be something there? Could there be something there as well about also came up in Sue's column, that women simply don't have time. They're busy with a lot of the care work, the unpaid care work. And so when you're busy with all these things, you simply don't have the time to have musings and to wonder about certain things, to really delve into an idea, find the time to fire off an email. You know, does it come down to that? One WhatsApp says we are busy. Busy with what? Zimele in Midrand, good afternoon.
Hi, Zanya.
Yes, welcome, Zimele.
Hi, thank you. So I just wanted to make a comment on the question you raised. I think it's a very interesting topic. I've also come to observe it as to why there are less sort of female commentators on the radio and so on. So I don't know. I think it has to do maybe with a lot with science. So maybe the way that our brains are wired. I find that often women tend to gravitate towards conversations that have to do with people and relationships, whereas men, on the other hand, tend to talk more about politics and so on. So maybe that could be a factor, I was just thinking.
I talk a lot about politics with my friends, female friends.
I know, and it's not to say that women don't have views on current affairs and politics. They certainly
There's a difference in terms of the things that we are going to stand and, you know, that Ratlali Emela, so you know, I will pick up the phone for X, but I won't pick up the phone for Y.
Yeah, so, and I really don't think it has to do with confidence, but I've just observed that in other radio stations that make a lot of have a lot of topics on relationships and stuff like that. There tends to be more female callers there.
Okay.
So maybe there's, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Zimele. And let's next hear from Kofi Kwaku. Good afternoon, Kofi.
Hi, Sonia. Long time.
Hi, Kofi. It's been a while.
Yes. You know, it's just so painful that women are not using the space, especially in a country where there's so much room for it.
Mm.
And, you know, editors are looking for them. The radio people, even you, and I say, and I dare you, even if you had to open this for the next 2 hours and say, I don't want men to participate in this, I want women. I mean, your turnout will be so low, you'll be disappointed. And there's so many other excuses. There's some guy who used this term called excusitis as a disease to find excuses. And we know women are busy. But, I mean, this is the place where they have to get the ideals, the ideas, thoughts out to shape how men and everybody else should be thinking. And it's not helping most of us. We're struggling to hear most women, you know, being able to articulate themselves. I mean, I'm also part of TEDx Little Town Women, where we do coaching and presentation. I mean, the quality of women you find is just amazing. But ask them to just show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to say a name. I'm not part of it, but there's an old friend of mine. I said, look, they're looking for somebody on a radio station who should be speaking about economics and so forth. And I say, are you ready to do it? She said, oh, I'm not sure. How is my hair going to look like? I said, no, we're not talking about hair. We're talking about you having an opinion to shape the way things are advancing. And frankly, I also want to challenge you. It'll be a good thing to have a space just for women, just once a week, even if it's half an hour. We need to hear from them about big issues in this country. We don't hear from them.
The challenge again is that, like one person said, even in this WhatsApp, the previous caller and in a WhatsApp, they say, this WhatsApp says, talk about relationships and 80% of the callers would be women. But those are not the women I know. The women I know are interested in science. They're interested in cars. They're interested in politics. And so to continue with those sort of stereotypes, then is problematic.
The space of the fourth industrial revolution that the president has put an old presidential council on it, we hear nothing about that from women or any other spaces in fact. You know, and we need to hear from them. This is so important, and I'm challenging them. I mean, I don't want to be on the show because I always talk anyway, but for them to come, and we want to hear from them from different places of life to be able to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the debate on Uganda and elections, I mean, this whole week, very few women were talking. I mean, next door in Lesotho, very few women were talking. I mean, there's so much space for them, and they can carve it up, you know, let men or other people know that they're there. So that
Kofi,
was my point.
Thank you. Thank you for making the point. Listen, we'll wrap with another call and then some of your WhatsApp.
Spend your afternoon with Azania Mosaka on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Well, Ms. Bodge, based on the conversation we were having in the open line, says we have lots of airtime. On a serious note, we are listening daily and analyzing each and every topic. Then we discuss our opinions privately with our friends. Stage fright, I guess. So that comes from Mrs. Bodge. And perhaps there's an element to what Sue concluded her article with, that there's an element of fear, perhaps. Roy, thanks for your patience. Hi.
Hi, Azania. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you. So my personal view on this is that it's wrong, but I think it's possible that mainly we think that women aren't as good as us or something for some reason. But I think it's wrong because a person is a person. You shouldn't be based on your race or your gender.
Mm-hmm.
You're a person.
Mm. Mm. And that's why everybody deserves to have that airtime, you know, that share of voice, that it shouldn't just be dominated by some. Roy, thank you so much on that humanistic point of view and that perspective. That's where we are going to leave it. Still don't have enough clarity on this issue. There are two more voice notes. Let's play those and then we move on to our next conversation with futurist foresight strategist Isaac Ngama.
Hey Azad, I'm here, obviously a guy, but I really think the first thought that came to mind was, you know, access to resources to actually make those comments. So money for calling, access to data, etc. So I think Lerato's point is fair, is genuine, and really ought to be given fair consideration.
Hi Azad, in general, I don't think the world is really ready or even prepared to accept that women aren't just in the background. So I find that women are always out there wanting to get involved, but really they're shut down in such a way that you cannot suddenly think what is going on. Even in the households, you know, I think a woman must always be in the background. If you're in front, you are called emotional, or, you know, you're overreacting. So, you know, it just really becomes very difficult to be bashed all the time when you're trying to voice your opinion. Even in a working environment, as a woman, you'll be sidelined by women as well, because women aren't even sure that they are ready to take over or just be heard.